Welcome to day 155. We are up to Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav, and this is the very last Mishnah of the sixth Perek, and then we will start the seventh Perek together. And these are the Mishnayos for Shabbos. As always, we like to post them on Erev Shabbos, so they're sitting ready to go in your inbox on Motzei Shabbos. In the last Mishnah, we learned that you're not allowed to bring Truma, even if it's Tamei, even if it's impure. You're not allowed to bring Truma from Israel, from Eretz Yisrael, to outside of Eretz Yisrael. And once we learned that halacha, now our Mishnah is going to continue on that theme and teach the opposite halacha. Says Mishnah Vav, Ein mevi'in Truma michutzla. La'aretz. You're not allowed to bring truma from outside of Eretz Yisrael to inside Eretz Yisrael. Now, we might take pause and say, wait a second. Aren't tithes, aren't trumas and maestros only relevant to Eretz Yisrael? We only give truma and maestros to produce that grows in the land of Israel. So that is true, mida oraisa. From a biblical perspective, we only bring trumas and maestros from any produce that grows in the land of Israel. But Chazal said that rabbinically, we should also be giving trumas and maestros from some of the lands surrounding Eretz Yisrael, for example, Egypt and Bavel. So that has a requirement of truma midrabanan. So once you have this truma midrabanan, let's say in Egypt, you're not allowed to take this rabbinic truma and bring it from Egypt, for example, to Eretz Yisrael. So why not? So the Yerushalmi says that we don't want Kohanim to know, oh, wait a second, now that there's truma outside of Eretz Yisrael that I'm allowed to bring in Eretz Yisrael, if they think that you're allowed to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael, then we're going to have Kohanim in Israel itself running to outside of Israel to grab truma and to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael, because there's always a limited amount of truma, right? So they might have an idea, wait a second, if I'm allowed to bring truma from Egypt, so then I'll run to Egypt, I'll grab the truma, I'll bring enough food for my family, and then I will bring it back. We don't want that. So the question is, why don't we want that? So various answers are suggested. Perhaps, first of all, we don't want to take away from the Kohanim outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's their truma. So maybe we don't want Kohanim from Israel running to outside of Israel, because that takes away from the truma from Kohanim outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that we don't want anyone leaving Eretz Yisrael. That's a general concept. We don't like, there's a halacha, they're supposed to stay in Eretz Yisrael if you're in Eretz Yisrael. So we don't want anyone leaving Eretz Yisrael. It has nothing to do with a Kohen. Possibility number three is that we don't want a Kohen. A Kohen is always supposed to remain pure, right? That's why Kohanim don't go to, let's say, cemeteries. We don't want them to become impure. So we assume that most things outside of Eretz Yisrael are Tamei, and therefore we don't want a Kohen running outside of Eretz Yisrael and therefore becoming Tamei. Whatever the reason is, you're not allowed to bring Truma from outside Eretz Yisrael to inside Eretz Yisrael, because we don't want Kohanim running after that food and bringing it back into Eretz Yisrael. Now, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Shemati B'Theirush, Rabbi Shimon says something that we saw in the last mission also. I heard explicitly, Shemevi in Misuria, that you're allowed to bring Truma from outside, from the Suria to Eretz Yisrael, but you're not allowed to bring from other lands such as Bavel or Egypt. Rabbi Shimon is consistent with what he said in the last Mishnah, which is that Rabbi Shimon believes that Suria, that area conquered by David HaMelech in northern Syria, is actually part of Eretz Yisrael proper, and therefore bringing from Suria to Eretz Yisrael, or for that matter, bringing from Eretz Yisrael to Syria, it's all the same thing. It's all part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you'd be allowed to. Again, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon, but he would say that Syria is considered part of Eretz Yisrael. But the general din is that we don't bring from outside Eretz Yisrael to inside Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that is Perek Vav. Now on to Perek Zayin. We're going to learn here what foods are actually have the requirement of Shemitah, or you have to keep the halachas of Shemitah by certain food, and the halacha of Biur. Right? When it comes to Shemitah, there are certain halachas. You're not allowed to ruin the food. You're not allowed to sell the food or use it in part of business if it's Shemitah food. You have to give access to everyone, even the poor and whatever it is. You have to make it hefker. So there are a lot of halachas that apply to Shemitah. And then Biur is, of course, the halacha that once a certain type of produce is no longer in the field, you have to remove it from your house. So our mission is going to tell us the types of foods that the halachas of Shemitah would apply to, and the halachas of Biur would apply to. And then the next Mishnah is going to teach only one of those. It's going to teach about certain food that, yes, the halachas of Shemitah apply to it, but you don't have to do Biur with it, because Biur doesn't apply to all foods. So again, our Mishnah is just going to start with what foods have the halachas of Shemitah and have the halacha of Biur, and then the next Mishnah we'll talk about ones that have Shemitah but don't have the halacha of Biur. Okay, so klal gadol amar b'shvius, a great general principle said b'shvius. By the way, this is the way of the Mishnah, we've seen this a lot, where we've been talking about Biur and we've been talking about halachas of Shemitah for a long time, and we haven't heard this klal yet. It would have been so much easier to hear this klal at the beginning. But this is the way the Mishnah works. We first hear the details, and then that should be megala, that should reveal, it should paint a picture of a larger klal, a larger general principle. So the details kind of reveal the whole. And that's what we're seeing now. Klal gadol amar b'shvius, a great principle was taught by Shvius. Kol shehu machal adam, anything that is considered the food of a person, meaning something that a person would eat, even if it's not normally eaten, but it's something that a person sometimes might eat, or Umaychal behema, or something that is considered food for an animal, fodder. Umin sovim, or a sort of grass or produce that produces dyes. In all of the, and one more principle. Ve'einu miskayim ba'aretz, and in any one of those cases, it can't last in the ground. Meaning, if you were to leave it attached to the ground and growing, it would eventually rot. So it needs to be one of those things, either food for people, food for animals, or a plant that gives dye, and it cannot remain in the land. Meaning, if it were to remain, it would rot. If that's true, then yesh lo shvis, ula dam of shvis. It has the halachas of shvis. You have to treat it with kedusha shvis, all the halachas that we said. You can't ruin it, etc. And ula dam of shvis. If you were to sell it, if you were to trade it and get money for it, then that money has the halachas of shvis. You have to treat it with your shvis, which means that you can't just use it for anything. You have to buy specifically. You have to buy other fruits or other food. And then when you do buy other food, then that food gets the status of shvis, and you have to eat that with all of the kedusha of the original shvis. So not only do the fruits themselves have kedusha shvis, but even if you were to sell it, the money has kedusha shvis, and then it continues with whatever you buy with that money. And v'yesh lo beer, and you'd have to do the mitzvah, the halacha of beer, that means removing it from your house, making it hefker, and uladam of beer, and if you were to sell it, then the same thing. Once, let's say you sold apples or you sold oranges, and the oranges now are no longer found in the field, and when you sold those oranges, now you have money, so as soon as the oranges are no longer in the field, then the money that you received from selling those oranges, then you have to do beer on that money. You have to bring the money outside and announce that it's hefker, it's ownerless, that the same halachos. So again, the actual produce has the halacha, and if you were to trade it, if you were to sell it, the money takes on that halacha as well. Now, the eza, what are the examples of these things? Now you might say, why do I need examples? I know that an apple is human food. I know that people eat oranges. Why do I need examples? So the Mishnah is going to be examples of things that maybe might not be generally considered a food, but because sometimes some people eat it, that it's considered part of this category. So they're really exceptions or things that we wouldn't think would be part of these categories. The Mishnah is not going to list the obvious thing. So the eza. So what are the examples here? Ze ale haluf hashota ale haluf are the it's a wild loaf. We saw it's a type of onion. The leaves, the ale hadandana and leaf of mint leaves, v'ha ulshin, v'ha kreshin, and a type of endives and leeks, all different things that are not generally eaten. A certain type of leek, a wild leek, is not generally eaten because they're very, very bitter, but because they're sometimes eaten, then it's considered food for people, and therefore it have all these halachas would apply. The similar haragila is another type of thing that grows in the ground, another type of herb. The netza chalav is a type of something that grows and has very white flowers. Chalav, like milk, right, has whatever it is. In all of those cases, they're not usually eaten, but because they're sometimes eaten, they're considered people food, human food, and therefore the halachos of Shemitah and the halachos of Biur apply. Now, umaychal behema, what are the examples of umaychal behema? Again, it's going to give unusual cases. Hachochim v'har dardarim, if they have thorns and thistles, that sometimes, we saw earlier actually, camels sometimes eat those. They technically can be given to animals, even if they might not be the most enjoyable food. But because it can be given, and sometimes is, that would be considered food for animals. And finally, umin sovim, what are examples of things that are used for dyes? So sviche isatis, which is a type of svichin we saw was an aftergrowth of something that gives off a blue dye. It says kmint chela, some sort of blue dye. And vakotza, something that gives off a type of a red dye. In all of those cases, those are considered people food or human or animal food or these grasses that produce different dyes. And therefore, yeshlam shvis, l'neim shvis, just repeating the halacha now, they have the halacha shvis. And when you sell them the coins, the money is halacha shvis, and yeshlam beer, l'neim beer. They have the halachas of beer, you have to do beer with them. And if you were to sell them, then you have to do beer with the coins. And again, tomorrow we're going to learn about things that have the concept that have the halachas of shvita, but don't have the halachas of beer. Okay, that is Mishnah Aleph. We will continue with Mishnah Beis tomorrow.